Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is also for Zchus, for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom Ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos, Daf Samchei, and we will begin on Daf Samach Dalar Mabez on the bottom line. We learned in the Mishnah what is the obligation of a husband to provide his wife. And the Mishnah said, nice and like chatzi kav kitnius, he has to give her a half a kav of kitnius weekly, beans on a weekly basis, a chatzi like shemen, and a kav grigris or a mana develim. Says the Gemara, v'ilu yayin, providing her with wine like tani, is not mentioned in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Messiah le'le rebelozer, this supports what Rabbi Elazar taught us. Don Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar teaches us, ain poiskin yenis leisha. We don't give wine for a woman. When we have to determine what kind of food items we give to a woman, we don't give her to a woman. So of course the Ritva asks, the Gemara is quoting as this is a halacha that was taught by Rabbi Elazar. But actually, as we're learning now, it's a halacha that was taught by our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah teaches us that we don't give the woman wine. So why is this halacha attributed to Rabbi Elazar? So the Ritva answers that if not for what Rabbi Elazar taught us, we would have thought that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that where women don't have the custom to drink wine. But if you live in a time and a place where women do drink wine, then maybe women should be given as part of their weekly allowance wine, teaches us Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't make a difference where the woman lives, you never have to give her wine. But it's interesting that the Rambam's psak is that if it's a place where women do drink wine, a little wine may be offered to women. The Tabina Rabbeinu Yoina, in answering the question of the Ritva, explained that since the Mishnah, even though it's clearly obvious, that is the opinion of our Mishnah, that women don't get wine, but the Mishnah is not clear, it doesn't say it explicitly. We only know it because the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention it is a proof that women don't get wine. Says the Tabina Rabbeinu Yoina, the Gemara wanted to quote it in a way like Rabbi Elazar said it, where it was very explicitly. Vim Timer asked the Gemara, but the Pasuk says in Hosea that the woman proclaims, Elcha achra mahave, noisni lachmi, mami. I go after those that love me, they give me wine, they give me bread and water, tzamri, wool, pishti, linen, shamni, oil of a shukui. Isn't shukui mean wine? Shukuyah mean dvarim sheisha mishtakekes lahem, things that women want, or my new, says the Gemara, that shukuyah doesn't mean wine, it means things that women want. What do women want? Tachshitim, jewelry. It can't mean, explains Rashi, that shukuyah means water, something to drink, because water has already been mentioned, and therefore, since the water has been mentioned, that's why the Gemara assumed that shukuyah means wine. And the Gemara says it doesn't mean wine. Why would we think that it means wine? Why would we think that women are entitled to wine? This pasuk is speaking to a woman who's not acting in the appropriate way. Are we going to bring, as the Mefarshim, a raya from such a woman to the way we're supposed to treat a woman? So Mefarshim explained that even though the pasuk itself is not speaking about a woman who behaves properly, but what women eat and what women drink is still mentioned in the pasuk. And since it's mentioned in the pasuk, that's why the Gemara assumed it should serve as a fair source that women are entitled to wine, but the Gemara says not. Says the Gemara, Darsha Behuda ish kfan de gevraya, from where do we know that we don't give an allotment of wine to women? Shai saw, that means that only her husband drank wine. V'loi shasos. She didn't drink wine. Because from here we see that it's inappropriate for women to drink wine. Ask the Gemara, Alam ata ochla v'ochla hachnami. Are we going to say that ochla means that she ate? Does that mean that the men don't eat? Of course men eat. Says the Gemara, Anan medishani kra b'deburah kaminin. The proof here is the way the pasuk changed who it was speaking about. Mechti begavo osik v'osi. The pasuk is talking about how Kana had two wives, Chana and Penina. Penina had children, Chana did not have children. And Elkanah went up every year with his family to bring a carbon in the Mishkan, which was in Shiloh at that time. And he would give portions of the meat to Penina and her children. And to Chana, he gave a double portion. And the pasuk tells us how Penina would make Chana feel bad. The Chana didn't want to eat. And that happened on a yearly basis. And the pasuk discusses what she ate and then how she davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Gemara, the proof that women don't drink as Mishani Krab Diburu Kaminin. The fact that the pasuk changes how it describes things. Michti, Begava Ka'osuk V'osi, as we just explained, the pasuk is speaking about her. My time Mishani, why when the pasuk starts speaking about the drinking of the wine, does it switch and not speak about Chana drinking wine? It speaks about Penina, it speaks about Chana drinking wine. To teach us, shasav alai shasos, that women don't drink. Meisvei asked the Gemara, we're learning now that we don't give women an allotment of wine. The Braisa teaches us that, as we've learned, one of the Tanai Ksuba is that a husband, if he passes his way and his almana remains in his home, the Yisoimim have to continue supporting her from his estate. And Mishnah and the Braisa teaches us, Regila, if she was accustomed to drinking wine, was her husband when her husband was alive, nice and low, we continue giving her wine. But Rabbi Elazar says that we don't give wine to women. Answers the Gemara, Regila Shani. When we're speaking about a woman who's accustomed to drink wine all the time, giving her drink wine is not such an issue because it doesn't really have an adverse effect on her. If a woman is accustomed to drink wine, we give her one cup of wine. Shein regila, if she's not accustomed to drink wine, and the question is obvious. It should be just the opposite. If she's accustomed to drink wine, we could give her two cups of wine. If she's not accustomed to drink wine, we shouldn't give her any wine. Amar bayahakama. Regila b'fnei bala, if a woman is used to drinking wine when she's with her husband, Shnei Kaisis, we give her two cups of wine. Shloi b'fnei bala, but when her husband is not there, Nasnai Kaisach, we only give her one cup of wine. Ein regila, if she's not accustomed to drink wine, b'fnei bala, if her husband is there, so then El Kaisach, we only give her one cup. Shloi b'fnei bala, but when her husband is not there, and we don't give her any wine at all. And the way the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina explained this, the Gemara, we only never give a woman an allowance of more than one cup per meal, even if it's a woman who's accustomed to drink more. Because since it's not appropriate for a woman to drink wine, so we never give her an allowance of more than one cup of wine to keep it within reason. Bibai Seima, another way of explaining the Braisa suggests the Gemara. Regila, if a woman is used to wine, it's not that she's used to drinking wine. As Rabbi Elazar taught us at the beginning of this year, we don't give women wine. Rather, what it means is nice and tzika kadera. We're talking about wine that's going to use for taste and what she's cooking, but not for drinking. Dom Rav Avua, Amar Rav Yochanan, Masa b'kalosay shenagdim b'ben goyim. there was a situation with the daughter-in-law of Nagdim and Ben-Gurion, Shepaskin law, that the Chachamim told the Yavam, who was obligated to support her, that they have to give a Sasayim Yayin Latzika Gedera, a tremendous amount of wine just that she should use for cooking, Ma'ariv Shabbos L'Ariv Shabbos. Amulhem, so the Nagdim and Ben-Gurion said to the Chachamim, Kach Tivskul B'Naseichem. She gave them a bracha, that you were so generous to me, you should be generous, your children, also your daughters, should receive very generous allowances. Tana, and the Brisa says, Shemeres Yavam Haisa. This, as we just said, she was a Shemeres Yavam. V'lana Achre Amen. They didn't want to give, they didn't say Amen to her bracha. Even though she gave them this wonderful bracha that their children, that their daughters should have husbands who are very generous with their allowance, but because she was a Shemeres Yavam, that they didn't want to say Amen, because they didn't want Chas V'Shalom that their daughters should end up being in a situation of a Shemeres Yavam. But there's another pshat that the Marshal suggests. She really was unhappy. She thought that the allowance that they had given her was unacceptable. And so even though she said that, she had an intention not to be happy with them, they still should have said Amen, because in their opinion, it was a generous allotment. But they didn't say Amen because she was a Shemeres Yavam. The reason she got so much wine, why does a woman who's only using wine for cooking need so much wine? So the Yavetz explains that she needed it because she didn't live just by herself. She had many servants, and because she had many servants, that's why they cooked a lot of food in the house, and that's why she needed that. That's why she needed this much wine. Our Gemara teaches us that if a woman is not accustomed to drinking wine, is only accustomed to drinking very little wine, should not be given an allowance of wine. The Flaw writes that even a woman who does not customarily drink wine and therefore is not allotted any wine is still allotted 2 cups of wine for Shabbos, because she needs a cup for her Kiddush and a cup for Avdolah. The Pnei Yeshua disagrees, and he says, since, as we're learning, Rav Elazar started our shiur today, that drinking wine could lead to a woman to inappropriate behavior, the Mishnah doesn't give a woman any wine even when her husband's not there, not even for Kiddush. The Pnei Yeshua says, if a woman's husband is not home for Shabbos, she should listen to someone else say Kiddush and have Dollar on her behalf. But she shouldn't get wine for herself. Says the Gemara, Tana, Kais Echad, 1 cup of wine, Yafel Isha, is fine for a woman to drink. Shnayim, drinking 2 cups of wine, Nivalula, is already not nice. Shloisha, if she gets 3 cups of wine, Tavas Bepeh, she's going to demand having relations with her husband. Haba, and when she drinks 4 cups of wine, Afil Chamar Tavas B'Shuk, she will be so promiscuous that she's going to even want to have relations with a donkey in the street. Vein Makbeda, she doesn't care. Amar Rava, to which Rava comments, Lo Shana El Shein Bali Ima, only when her husband is not there. Ava Bali Ina is Leslamba, if her husband is there, we need not be that strict. Ask the Gemara, but the story, the pasuk that we read earlier in the shiur, we spoke about Chana, and we brought a riot that Chana didn't drink wine. Ask the Gemara, Chana Bali Ima Hava, Elkana, her husband was there, so why did we withhold wine from her? Answers the Gemara, Achsnoi Shani, she was a guest. How do we know that a guest should not have relations in someone else's home? The pasuk speaks about after Chana davened that she should have a child, and they went to the Beis Hamikdash, the Shiloh, and they davened, and they went home. V'yed Elkanah aschani ishto, and then Elkanah had relations with his wife. V'yizkura Hashem, and Hashem remembered her, and she got pregnant. But we see hashed in mikarolei. Only at this point did they have relations, not before. And therefore, the same halacha is that a woman shouldn't drink wine, because drinking wine could cause her to act, to want to have relations, and when you're not home, you're not supposed to have relations. So of course, the Mefarshim ask that we know that in the night of Pesach we drink 4 cups of wine, and the chiv of dal kaisis is even an obligation on women. So how? And here we're learning how when a woman drinks 4 cups, afilu chamar tavas b'shuk v'enim mekpedes. So Ben Yayadi answers that when we're speaking here, drinking 4 cups of wine for a woman is highly inappropriate. It's only when they're drinking 4 cups of wine, one right after the other. But we know by the Seder, the dalakaisis are not consumed one after the other. It's their breaks in between. In fact, however, the Sharm Tzion Balacha, because of this, suggests that indeed, maybe at the Seder, even though women, as we're learning, are obligated to drink dalakaisis, he suggests that maybe women at the Seder should only drink grape juice. Because here we're learning in our Gemara how inappropriate it is for women to drink wine. Says the Gemara, Chaima devisa d'Abaya. Chaima was the wife of Abaya, Osla kamei d'Rava. She came in front of Rava, and she said Amalei, and she said after her husband passed away, and he said Psychli Mizaini, I deserve to be supported from the estate of my husband, Pasukla. So he gave her an allotment, Psychli Chamra. So then he said, give me wine, give me an allotment of wine, Amalei Yadana Ben Nachmeni. I know your husband Abaya, whose name was Nachmeni, he didn't drink wine. And since he didn't drink wine, you're not entitled to an allotment of wine. In many places in Shas, we find that Rava would call Abaya Nachmeni. Why? Well, and Rashi explains, Abaya became an orphan when he was very young, and he was raised by Rava Nachmeni. And since he was raised by Rabbi Menachmeni, that's why he's called Nachmeni. The Aruch actually says that Abaya's name was Nachmeni, the same name as the father of Rava. And since Rabbi did not want to call Abaya by that name, because it was the same name of his father, so that's why he started calling him Abaya. Why did he start calling him Abaya? Because Abaya stands for Ashebecha Yeruchim Yosem. And as we just said, Abaya was an orphan from a very young child. Why did Abaya not drink wine? So some Rishonim explain, because Abaya was a poor person. And since he was poor, he wasn't able to afford wine. Rabbeinu Chananel, however, says that the reason he didn't drink wine was because Abaya was a kohen. And the Gemara discusses that if an individual is a Kayin and he doesn't know when his Mishmar is, when it's his week to do the Avodah, he should never drink wine, because hopefully Mashiach could come at any moment. And when Mashiach comes at any moment, he'll have to be prepared to do the Avodah. And if he drank wine, he wouldn't be able to drink the Avodah, drink the wine. That's why he didn't drink wine. And that's why he said to her, you don't deserve wine. Rava said to him, you don't deserve wine because your husband never gave you wine. Amrle, so she said to him, Chai Damar, I could swear that he used to give me to drink wine in long cups. And she showed him her arm to show how long were the cups that had drank wine. And the Yavit says that even though he just said he didn't drink wine, could be that originally Abaya never drank wine. But then when Abaya was not so was got older and wine is considered something healthy, he began to drink wine. Another pshat that Rashi says is that Abaya didn't drink wine, particularly if we say the reason is because he was a Kohen. So Abaya himself did not drink wine, but that had nothing to do with his wife. And she's saying that she said that he might not have drank any wine, but he gave me wine to drink. Ba'adid kamachfale, while she was showing him the length of the cup, igli dara, her arm got visible, enough from the harbor beidina, and it had such a wonderful complexion, it glowed in the bezdin. Come Rava Olabese, and Rava came to his house, Tava the Basra of Chizda, and he asked his wife, the daughter of Rav Chizda, to have relations. Of course, the Mefarshim ask, how did he want to have relations during the day? So there's a number of pshatim. Shita says that if a man sees that he has a desire during the day, and the way he could conquer his desire is by having relations in the appropriate manner, that's what, then it's, you're allowed to have it, then you're allowed to do it during the day. Amalei Basra Chizda. So the daughter of Chizda, his wife, saw that this is unusual, that her husband should want to have relations during the day. So she said, Man hava idna bebeidina. Who was in the bezdin today that caused you to have this urge? Amalei Chaim de Bisa de Baya. Chaim, the wife of Abaya. So says the Gemara, Nafak Basra. So Rava's wife followed. Machsle bekufa de Shida. And she hit her with the lock of a box. Ada afkale mekulei mechuzah. Until she chased her out of the town of mechuzah. Amala, katlach tlas. You have killed three men who are married to you. Vasas lemitlis achenina. And now you want to try to get my husband to marry you, and by that you'll try to get, and he'll die because you're a katlonis. We learned in the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samach Tal Dalar Mabeis, that after how many times does a woman become a katlonis? The Machlokes Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The opinion of the Chachamim is after two times. Rav Shimon Gamliel opinion is after three times. And obviously, they were following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. That's why she was allowed to marry three times, and that's why she was chasing out of time. Why was she necessarily trying to chase her out with the lock? So the Ben Yoyada explains that she was trying to tell her that since you already caused three of your husband to die, so now you should be like a lock. You should be locked up from being able to marry three men. Who were the three men that she wanted, that she was married to? They were Rechava de Pumpadisa, Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rava, and then Abaya. And now she was trying to get another man to marry her, and they told her, you may not marry any more men, because once three of your husbands passed away, the halacha is that you can't get married anymore. The question that I saw that the Beis Yitzchak and Evan Ezer, Chelik Aleph, Simon Memhei asks, that the Sefer Chassidim says that if a husband leaves children, then the wife is not considered a katlonis. So here, Abaya had children with her. So why is it considered that she was a katlonis to Abaya? So the Beis Yitzchak, because of this question, reinterprets the entire way that we're learning our Gemara. He says that indeed we're paskening like the Chachamim, that a woman becomes a katlonis only after two of her husbands passed away. And here she was considered katlonis because three of her husbands, the first two husbands died without children. The third husband is not counted because the third husband, they had children. Of course, the question is, how did she ever marry the third husband? Says the Gemara, Dvisa Rav Yosef Berei de Rava, Asla Kamed Rav Nechanya Berei de Rav Yosef. She came after her husband passed away. Amrlai, and she requested, Psoikli Mezaini, she wanted an allowance, Pasikli. So he gave her an allowance. Then she asked, Pasikli Chamra, he give me an allowance of wine. Pasukla. So they gave her an allowance of wine as well. Because he said, so the question, he was trying to explain himself, why did I give this woman wine? Because he says, I know, I am familiar with the way that B'nai Mechuzah act the Shasu Chamra. Says the Gemara further, the visa of Rabbi Yosef Reid Rabbi Nashe Medvil, Osla Kameid Rabbi Yosef, Amla, Psoikli Mizaini, give me an allotment, Pasukli, Psoikli, Chamra Pasukli, Psoikli Shiroi, give me an allotment of expensive clothing. Amla Shiroi Lamli, why do you need these expensive clothing? Amr Loch Ulchavrach Ulchavarcha, I want to wear nice clothing because I want people to respect me, and people such as yourself and your colleagues should respect me. We learned further in the Mishnah, for Noisin law, that what is a husband obligated to give to his wife? Mita or mapets, a bed and a mat, and also a machtzelis, a bed, mat, etc. So ask the Gemara, mapets or machtzelis, lamla diyavla, what do we have to give all these various different bedding? Amra papa, ba'asra the niga the moli puri b'chavli, in the place where there's a minig that they connect the bed with straps, the mevagala, and those straps could pressure her, and because of that, they have to give her pieces of straw or soft pieces that she shouldn't be hurt by these straps. Tana Rabbanan, ain't nice in law, karvakesis. We don't have to give a woman who's not living with her husband, doesn't have to give a pillow and blanket. Shemem nasan aimru, nice like karvakesis. Ask the Gemara, what is the case that we are referring to? Ask them, Hechidami, Ida Urcha, if they're living in a place where that's where her family style is, that they get a karakesis, my Tama the Tanakama, why would the Tanakama hold that she doesn't get it? We've learned many times in our Masechta, Oili Imai Veni Yeredesima, that the Aloch is that a wife is, you're supposed to give your wife whatever she is accustomed to. Vi the lavorcha, and if it's not the, if she doesn't come from a place that that's the way she's normally treated, so my time the Reb Nosson that she does get it. Answers the Gemara, he, the husband, sleeps with a karvakesis, but the wife does not. Tanakama sover, the opinion of the Tanakama is ki azilna shakin amala, the husband tells the wife, kazilna shakinalei. When I will leave you and won't be there, I'll take the Karen Kessis with me. And when I come back, I'll bring the Karen Kessis with me. From Nassim Sover, in other words, I bring my own Karen Kessis. From Nassim Sover, and of course you have yours, and I'll bring mine for when I'm sleeping by you. From Nassim Sover, Amra, she says, Zimdim Sami Benishmashes. Sometimes you're going to come late on Friday afternoon. Vloy Motzes Maises Lo, and there won't be time for you to bring your own carcasses. The Shikatla Lizdi, and you'll use mine. Or Magnus Lilara, and you'll leave me on the floor. And because of that, she says, I always need to have this spare carcasses in my home that if you don't bring yours, we should both have a karakesis. For nice one, kippah, we learned that the husband has to give the wife a kippah. Amara papala baya, hai tana, shlicha terloi v'rami masani. This tana doesn't have any clothing and doesn't have any shoes, and that's why he gives her only one pair of clothing once a year. Amalei, that means they worry about the shoes more than the clothing. Amalei tana b'makom harakai. Answers, in other words, Rashi says that he doesn't have any clothing and he gives her clothing once a year and shoes so often. So, answers the Gemara. Amalei tana b'makom harakai. The tana lived where there were mountains. Lesagi b'loi tlosa zugi masani. That's why she needs three pairs of shoes a year. V'agav, the Urche Kamashmalon, that Nintan is teaching us, the Nase of Nila, if you're going to give your wife shoes, when should you give her the shoes? They should give it. If you're going to buy shoes, the right time to buy the shoes is Yontif time, so she should have a new pair of shoes to Yontif. There's an interesting question that the Shal Shetshuvas Ra Palam asks. We know the halacha is, the Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amin Aleph teaches us, if Tashem Shabbos or Glecha, the Chibarata Masoish Durechecha, teaches us the Gemara, Shalayim Mabushka Kishabbos, Kamabushka Shachol. On Shabbos, you should have special Shabbos clothing. The question is, do you have to also have special Shabbos shoes? So the Shas Chuvas Rap Ha'olim, Chel Erchaim Chel Dal Sim Yud Gimel, brings a raya that shoes are not considered regular clothing. He says, because every morning when we say Birchas HaShachar, we say Malbush Arumim, and we make another bracha of Osli Kotzorki. Malbush Arumim refers to all the clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us have and wear, and Osli Kotzorki is regarding the shoes. Now, he says, if shoes were to be included with all the other garments that we wear, why do we make a special bracha for shoes? It's clearly an indication, he says, that shoes and clothing are considered two separate garments. And garments, as we quoted the Gemara, you have to have special Shabbos garments, but not for shoes. There's another raya, because the Gemara speaks about a sandal on a summer. And the Gemara says that the sandal on a summer was a shoe with pegs. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Samach, discusses that you're not allowed to wear such shoes on Shabbos. So the Machloikis, what does that mean? Does it mean because the story happened on Shabbos you don't wear it on Shabbos? Or is it because only those shoes were worn on Shabbos? If it's because those shoes were only worn on Shabbos, we see that Shabbos, that they had different shoes for Shabbos. But our Gemara says, Rabbi Bezalel Zev Shafran, in his Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Beis, says that we gave the woman new shoes for Yontif. And that was the time that the woman got new shoes, because they lived in Mokum Horim, where the shoes got worn out. So he says, we see that they only switched shoes because they got worn out. And they got worn out, they gave them new shoes on Yontif. So we see that under normal circumstances, they wore the same pair of shoe all week long. We learned in the Mishnah that she's given clothing of Chamishim Zuz, of 50 Zuz, Mishan Lashana, every year. When we speak about the Chamishim Zuz Pshitim, very simple, that are only worth an eighth of the Zuzi Tzuri, which we discussed in the previous year, that the Zuzi Tzuri are more valuable money, because the Zuzi Tzuri was money which was pure, that the metal that it was made out of was pure. Memai, says the Gemara, how do we notice? Midik Tani, Medva Mamurim B'Ani Shab Yisrael, that this shiurim that I mentioned in our Mishnah are only for poor people. Avam mechubid, if somebody is a wealthy man, hakol afi kvoidai, the allowance is according to his kavod. V'isal kedatach, if we're going to say that when we speak about the chamishim zuzei, we speak about chamishim zuzei mamit tsuri, oni chamishim zuzei minole, a poor person would never have that kind of money. El shema mino, it's a raya, that when we're talking about the simplest amount of money, it's Chamisha Zuzei Pshiti. We're speaking about the simple money. That's what the cheaper money, which is only an eighth of the expensive money, is the amount that has to be spent. We don't give her new clothing in the summer because they're too heavy. And we don't give her worn out clothing in the winter because they're too light. If a husband gave his wife a food allowance and she has left over, that money goes to the husband. Maisa belos, but if he gave her clothing and she still has left over from the old clothing, they're given to the Isha. But she keeps them. But ask the Gemara, Maisa belos Isha lamali, what does she need, those leftover clothing? Answers the Gemara, Amar Chava, Shetaskasba b'nei lidosan. The women used to wear different clothing when they were needers, when they were nida, kadesh like tiskana abala, because the husband will remember her with by the clothing, and that's why he didn't want that we should be remembered her by the clothing she wore as a nida. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is we want there should be a simon that she's tamei, that she's a nida. How is that accomplished? By her wearing different clothing. Another pshat that I saw is that a nida makes the clothing she wears tamei. Since the nida makes the clothing that she wears tamei, they wanted to have special clothing that were tamei when she was a nida. Amar Abaye Naktinan, Moisa Blas Amona LeYarshav. If the Amona, who's being supported by the Yesoimim, has leftover clothing, they go to the Yarshim. But why? Says the Gemara Hossam to learn Skana Ba'ape. Why do we say that the leftover clothing are given to the wife? Because we want the wife to look nice for her husband. Hacha, but when she's not being supported by her husband, we don't. The Yarshim don't care. Tiskani v'tiskani. We learned in the Mishnah, Noisin l'mor kesef, she gets an allowance of a mor kesef, and v'aychelesim ma'am b'leil Shabbos, leil Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, my acheles, what is the definition of acheles? Rav Nachman am acheles mamish, that they eat together, that's the time that they should eat together. Rav Ashi am a tashmish. They have relations every Friday night. Tanan, ask the Gemara, our Mishnah says, "Achelas imoy leil Shabbos." Says the Gemara, "Bishlam lemandam lachila." According to Mandam, that says they eat together. How did it come, Achelas? So we understand the wording of the Mishnah when it says Achelas. El lemandam tashmish. According to the Mandam that says it's tashmish, my Achelas. Why did the Mishnah use the word Achelas? Why did the Mishnah use word that means tashmish? Answers the Gemara, "Lishnam alya." The Mishnah wanted to use nice language, and instead of saying Tashmish, the Mishnah said Acheles, which means Tashmish. And where do we see that Acheles means Tashmish? K'riksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ochlo mochsa pia, v'marati lepa'a ali oven. So Tosfos asks that according to Rav Ashi, Acheles is Tashmish. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? That the Tashmish is Friday night. Says Tosfos that the Mishnah is teaching us that even if you have a man that we learned earlier doesn't have to have relations with his wife every week even, but if she's a wife that they're not living together, as we started the sugya, then the halacha is that they have to have relations every Friday night. The Talmid and Rabbeinu Yoina explained that the Mishnah is referring to Talmid Chachamim, and the proper time for Talmid Chachamim to have Tashmish is on Friday night. And other Rishonim, my source, explain that even men who are supposed to have Tashmish with their wives more than once a week, the one of the times during the week when they should have those relations should be on Friday night. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Rav Asi, asked the Gemara on Rav Asi, the Pasuk says, the Brisa says, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Echaz B'Leil Shabbos V'Shabbos. According to Mandam, the definition of achila means to eat. Hanik tani, that's why the Mishnah said the Shabbos. Even the Shabbos, this Shabbos, that they have to eat all the Shabbos meals together. El Mandam asked the Gemara, that it means Tashmish, asked the Gemara, Tashmish b'Shabbos meika, is there Tashmish during the day of Shabbos? Don't we know, if we've quoted, Vamar Avhuna, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, so how can we say that they have Tashmish on Shabbos by day? And as Rashi explains, the reason they don't have Tashmish is by day is because it's for tznius, where the husband shouldn't see the wife without clothing. And says the Gemara, Amarava, the bias awful mutter. If they're doing it in a room where it's dark, it's mutter. And as the Ritva explains, the Gemara is speaking about a person, a Talmud Chacham explains the Ritva, only has Tashmish once a week, on Friday night. And such an individual has the Tashmish Friday night, and since he has to have the Tashmish Friday night, that's it. But a person is supposed to have Tashmish twice a week, so they had the Tashmish Friday night, but they were supposed to have Tashmish another time, so they could have the Tashmish the second time by day, Shabbos by day, b'bayis offal. We learned in the Mishnah, if the wife is nursing, then she has to work less and get more food. Says the Maratara Shab Ula Rabba Pisch de Bein Nasiya. Afish Amra in Adam Zon Bonav Menoisuk Shen Ketanim. You don't have to support your children when they're young. We've discussed this halacha previously. Avik Tanik Ketanim, when they're very young, you're obligated to support. And Tosfos says that you have to support them. Bezdin could force you to support them. And even, says the Ritva, if you're a person that can't afford it, you have to find a way to support those children. At kama, so ask the Gemara, till what age do you have that obligation? Ad ben sheish, k'ravasi, daravasi, katan ben sheish. Once the child is 6 years old, yoytze, katan ben sheish, yoytze be'erv imoy. But if we spoke in our previous year about erev tchumim, so the Mishnah teaches us, the Ravasi teaches us that a child still 6 years old is together with his mother. And Memela, if the father made an Erev Tchumim in one direction and the mother made an Erev Tchumim in the other direction, he goes with his mother's Erev Tchumim. Memai, how do we see that that's the Halacha Midik Tani? We learned in our Mishnah, Hois V'Nekis, Baichsam Mas Yedel. If she's nursing, she doesn't have to earn as much. And the father has to give more food. My tama, love, because the child eats with its mother, and the father has the obligation to support. Says the Gemara, who says that's the reason? Maybe the reason why the husband gives more, because the woman is considered a chayla because she's a menekes. Answers the Gemara, if that is what was meant, him came. We should have taught us that if a woman is not well, the husband doesn't make her work that much, the husband has to give her more food. Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is that that when a woman is a nursing woman, that she's considered a chayla. And that's why she should be deserving more. However, the Rishonim point out, there's a difference between a menekes and a chayla. If a woman comes with a claim that she is a menekes, that she's a chayla, the husband has to prove, the husband can demand that she prove she's a chayla. But if the woman is nursing, she doesn't have to offer any proof that she's not well. The woman who's a menekes is automatically considered a chayla, and there's no need have to prove it. And that's why there are, the Paiskim say that if a woman has to bring a note or whatever that she's a chayla, if she could say that if she's nursing, then the halacha is she's considered a chayla. It says the Gemara, Itma Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, a woman who's nursing, Maisifin la yayin, we give her an extra allotment of wine, Shayayin yofa l'cholav. Wine causes that the woman should have an abundance of milk that she should be able to nurse her child. Hanulach afalpi, hanulach afalpi, hanulach afalpi. Teaches us the Mishnah Metzias Isha. If a woman finds something, v'mas yedeh, and a woman earns, labala, they go to the husband. V'yirushasa, if a woman gets Yerusha from her father, that means, let's say, her father passed away, and he didn't leave over any sons, and she is his Yairish, she owns the Yerusha, and who Eichel Paris Bechaya. And as long as they're married, he gets to eat the Paris. That means if it's a field, he gets to eat the fruits that the field produces. If it's an apartment house, for example, a building, he gets to keep the Paris, the rent. So Mishnah taught us that the Metzias Isha goes to the husband. So there's a machlokes rishonim. Why? Some rishonim say that the reason is because since he supports her, that's why she gets the metziah. And according to that, if there's a situation of any oisa v'ena nezainis, that she says to her husband, don't support me and I won't have to turn over my earnings to you, then the metziahs will not go to her. But there are other rishonim that disagree. And they say that Metziah goes to her husband under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, if there's a boishes payment, if she's entitled to a boishes payment or begam payment, that means her value as a slave goes down because she suffered some sort of a accident, that money goes shalot to her. When the wound is something that is not visible, she gets 2/3 of the damages, and he gets one share. But when the wound is open, so it's he who is suffering more, and that's why he gets 2/3 of the payment, and she gets only one payment. Shaloi, the amount that he's entitled to Yonosim Miyad, he gets immediately the shaloi, and the amount that she's entitled to Ilok Ben Karka, we buy property with that amount, with that money. The Oichel Peiris, and the husband eats the Peiris of the payment. The very interesting shaila that the Shuki Chemet discusses, that we're learning now that the husband is entitled to her wages because the husband supports her. And the question is, what happens if the wife tells her employer, you don't have to pay me? The question is, can the wife say that? Because it may not be hers. It really, as we're learning now, belongs to the husband. And if it belongs to the husband, she isn't the one that owns that money that she could say, don't pay me. And the question really is, how does the halacha look at it? Does the halacha look at it that she earns the wages and then she turns over the wages to the husband? Or does the halacha look at it, and therefore if she first gets the ownership of the wages, she could forgive that obligation? Or does the halacha look at it that since she has to turn over her wages to her husband, they become to the husband's immediately? So he seems to say, he quotes the Minchas Shleima, who says that the way the halacha works is that it becomes hers, and then she turns it over to him, to the husband. Since it's hers, and then she turns it over to the husband, that's why the halacha will be that she could be meichel it, because it was hers first, and she has the right to be meichel what's hers.